Well, well, well. It's probably not fair to say the Penguins choked. But maybe they did. Because that series against the New York Rangers was one big, nonstop, blown lead. They blew one-goal leads twice last night, including Zibanejad's tally, late regulation that tied the game 3-3. They blew a 2-0 lead in Game 6, and they did so in 76 seconds. They blew a 2-0 lead in Game 5. The Rangers led within 162 seconds. They blew a 4-1 lead in Game 3, but won anyway 7-4. And you may remember, after the Penguins took a 5-4 lead with 9 minutes left, they trapped and worked down low in New York's end. That's the last time the Penguins played like that in the entire series, despite situations that demanded it, not least last night's third period. It all ends up to blowing a 3-1 series lead and being eliminated. After the game, Jake Guentzel said, quote, "I thought we had something special here," unquote. Well, Jake did. He scored 8 goals in the series. That's the first time that's happened in a playoff series since 2009, when Sid and Ovi did it against each other. The Penguins used to have something special. They were legit contenders from 08 through 18, and they won Stanley Cups in 09, 16, and 17. But now that's all over, and decisively so. Memo to Fenway Sports Group: don't let yourselves be talked into one more run, quote unquote, for this group. Move in a different direction. This is the Mark Madden Show. You like it, you love it, you want more of it. None of us loved what happened last night, though. The number to call is 412-333-WXDX, or do what the cool kids do and follow me on Twitter at MarkManX. To say that it's over for this group, to say there won't be one more run, that's not insulting. It's fact. The Penguins haven't won a playoff series since 2018. They've exited in the first round on 4 straight seasons. They got a lot of excuses, if they choose, for losing to the Rangers. Crosby and Raquel got knocked out the series for varying lengths by high hits. Tristan Jarry wasn't available before Game 7 because of his broken foot. The main complaint last night involved Marcus Pettersson being stripped of his helmet, and he had to go to the bench as per the rules. Sullivan said, "I think that rule stinks," to paraphrase. And yeah, it does, but tell John Marino not to turn the puck over. The Penguins didn't manage the lead last night. Never tried. And Sidney Crosby said that they deserved better. I'm not so sure that they did. People talk about the Penguins' playoff experience, but they're not operating off the experience of 2016 and 2017 anymore. Their playoff experience is what happened since. That's their current frame of reference, and that's why it's time for major change. And it ain't going to be tank to get better draft picks. That's not how Fenway Sports Group does it. They're going to spend. They'll do so vigorously. But first, they're going to bring in elite hockey management. Burke's for sure gone. I've been told that. And Hextall is likely gone. It should be gone. I'll go into why a little bit later. But I think management's going to change first. I think they'll retain Mike Sullivan as coach, but that's up to management. And then they'll do what needs done with the roster. I'll give you my opinions on that nonstop between now and when it happens, right here on 105.9 The X. It was an ugly series. It was an ugly loss. We talked about the blown leads, They mangled some crucial 5-on-3 power plays. Statistically, they did well on faceoffs, but they couldn't win the crucial draws. The first power play was crap. The second power play scored half the power play goals, 3 out of 6. Louis Domingue did his best, but it wasn't much. Dumoulin got hurt, and not only are you missing him, but it led to the pairing of Letang and Matheson, which just didn't work. Dumb plays, dumb penalties. A little later, going to talk about the play Brock McGinn made that led to the penalty in overtime that led to the power play goal by Panarin that ended the game. Actually, let's talk about it now. McGinn turned it over, committed holding. He tried to make a play with the puck, even though he's the last man. The ref's arm went up, and Panarin scored in overtime. That's a horrible play by McGinn. It's too bad he signed a 4-year, $11 million contract before the season, because a dumbass play like that that blows Game 7 should be a one-way ticket to Palookaville. A bottom six has to be smarter than that. But I ask these questions, too. Why was McGinn the last man back in overtime? Why were both defensemen lower? And I answer, because that's how the Penguins play. They have done nothing in the playoffs since 2018 besides continually hang themselves with their own rope. Now, if you want a few good things to take away from the series, Gensel was great. That goal he scored last night was fabulous. When Crosby played, he was terrific. He reminded everybody, not that we should need reminded, but he issued a reminder that he's still one of hockey's best 5 players. But below that, I thought the Penguins were meh. You know your team is in trouble when it starts counting on Danton Heinen. Last night was the end of an era. Unless it's not. Then it's the beginning of an error. I think you're going to see basically all the free agents go. But we keep hearing that they might keep Malkin, and that would be solely to play Clay Crosby. Because nothing I saw from how Malkin played 5-on-5 in these playoffs and in the regular season, except for a couple games that turned out to be outliers, I see no reason to bring Malkin back, and especially not at the price he's going to want. Let's make sure you understand that, too. You're going to hear Malkin say and Letang say and a lot of guys say, Brian Rust, I really want to finish my career in Pittsburgh. Okay, then take what you're offered, because they're making the offers. What they're really saying is, I want to finish my career in Pittsburgh at my price. That's what they're really saying. Remember that if and when any or all of these guys leave. 412-333-WXDX. Playing Jari was 100% the right move. He wasn't great, but he was better than Louis Domingue would have been. And Jari is your number one goalie. I wish he would have played Game 6, and I wonder if he could have. I wonder the same about Sin and Raquel. And until the NHL tells the truth about injuries like the NFL does, it's 100% fair to wonder. The Penguins have always erred on the side of caution, and that's good. When there's a big picture, like there was between 2008-2018, when they were legit contenders all the time. But when you lose in the first round now for a 4th straight year, there ain't no big picture. It's only ASAP, with the key word being possible. Penguins allowed 4 goals or more in 5 of the 7 games. You're not going to win a playoff series that way. 412-333-WXDX. As you can tell, I have a sore throat and shot voice because I was at the FA Cup final on Saturday in London, which Liverpool won on penalty kicks after extra time. Had a terrific day. One of the best experiences of my life, and I'll talk about that more a little bit later. But mostly we're going to talk Penguins all day long. So get your calls in right now at 412-333-WXDX. Jay Caulfield joins me at 3:30. I'm Mark Madden.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Come, son of Jor-El. Kneel before Zod.
Oh, hi.
Always great to hear from the lady callers.
DX at 105.9.
It's time for the Bucco Roundup. The Pirates got no hit yesterday, but they won. I'm excited. This seems to be their best chance at winning. To suck, but still win. I'm hoping it repeats. You know, to some, this is a big deal. You win a no-hitter. But it's the Pirates in Cincinnati. It's just about a Triple-A game. So who cares? That's the Bucco Roundup for today. Liverpool won the FA Cup Saturday. I was there at Wembley Stadium in London. I was so happy. It was so much fun, and I'm so glad I decided to go. Now we got the Champions League final on the 28th. That's at Paris. I won't be going, although I'd love to. And we can still win the league, too. Man City tied yesterday. They have to stumble again, but at least we're in with a chance going into the season's last week. The Steelers' schedule came out. It's toughest early, so maybe Mitch Trubisky starts at quarterback. Turn the music down. So maybe Trubisky starts at quarterback, takes some lumps, and then Pickett starts after they go, I don't know, say 2-4, and he's the savior. I'd still start Pickett right away. He's 24, started 49 games at Pitt, etc. That's why you drafted him, to start right away. Now, the cockeyed optimists are saying the Steelers will start 2-4, then finish 9-8 and make the playoffs. I don't think so. This doesn't strike me as a team that's going to rally after a bad start. They don't have the leadership at quarterback to do that. Unless, of course, they sign Antonio Brown, then all great things will be possible. Antonio Brown has put all over social media he wants to retire as a Steeler. I don't think so. Well, I take that back. He'd be the perfect influence on guys like Pickett and Pickens. Okay, now this amazes me. We have, like, no Penguin calls. We have one. Okay, well, we'll talk about the Steelers quarterback situation. Seriously, if you don't think I'm ready to tell this show to GF itself, you're out of your mind. You think I left to go to Liverpool, to London for the FA Cup final because I feel a great obligation to this show? Hell no. Hell no, I don't. I feel an obligation to just keep getting paid, and that's it. So anyway, that Steelers schedule is toughest earliest. So I would still start Pickett. Maybe it takes the pressure off him if Trubisky starts. Maybe it placates Trubisky. I don't know. I said the minute they drafted Pickett, if you didn't draft Pickett to start him right away, it made no sense to pick him. And yeah, maybe like, you know, 4, 5, 6 games at the start of his NFL career, maybe not starting those doesn't make a major difference. Maybe it doesn't betray the pick. But it does, to some degree, betray the pick right away, too. But again, there's method to that madness. You're making Trubisky the victim if they start bad. Anyway, let's talk Steeler quarterback, 412-333-WXDX. Seriously, if it wasn't a dead giveaway that I left in the middle of the Penguin playoffs to go to watch soccer in London, if that doesn't clue you in to my current relationship with putting the show first, I don't know what does. And one thing that makes me feel that way is that you don't call when it's obvious to call. And you're not listening to the other show because the ratings indicate that. So whatever you want to do is fine by me. But I thank God that I kind of have an exit strategy for this, and it's not that far off. Let's go to Eric in Greensburg. Eric, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark.
assuming that Malkin and Letang and Rust leave in free agency, what do you think the Penguins' strategy is going to be then? Do you think they're going to try to like bring in big names and spend to the cap again?
I don't know. I think they will spend to the cap. I think they might go for a deeper squad than a star-studded squad. I'll give you a case in point. Gino wants $7 million a year, okay? What if you could get Trocheck for 5.5? Who would you rather have?
It would probably depend on the length of the contracts for both of them.
There's only one right answer to that, and it's Trocheck.
How old is Trocheck?
I don't know. He's younger than Gino. I don't have that in front of me. You know what? The fact that you even consider Malkin over Trocheck indicates I should hang up on you. And so I am. Did anybody actually watch Malkin play in these playoffs? Let's go to Ernesto and McMurray. Ernesto, you're on with Mark. Okay, your phone sucks. Let's go to Dan in Tampa. Dan, what do you want?
Hey, Mark. Yeah, I don't know how anybody could possibly rationalize that Trocheck is a lesser player than Malkin. Even if, you know, I don't care what the money is, Trocheck is a younger and better player right now. And Malkin was just mostly terrible in the series. So that's
you're not paying guys for what they were. You're paying them for what they are.
Well, Mark, yeah, but you know this. A lot of Penguin quote-unquote fans, they want to see the band stay together for sentimental reasons.
Well, no, because
they don't care about
they want that because they still think that it can win. Because this is a group of fans now, a whole generation, that has seen them in the playoffs 16 straight years. They think the playoffs are part of the schedule. They think it's automatic.
Yeah, no question about it. If it's me, you know, I would like to lock up Letang. I think he still has 3 or 4 good years left, but I'm letting Malkin and Russ walk.
Hey, I'm a big Letang fan. I would not pay him what he's going to get in free agency. And I'm a big Letang fan. Thank you for the call. Jay Caulfield up next, 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
He don't do nothing but win. He just knows how to win.
Super G, loud and proud.
He is horrible. He is terrible.
The X at 105.9.
Penguins with a disappointing Game 7 loss last night at New York and a disappointing series loss to the Rangers after having led 3-1. And joining me now to discuss, the 2-time Stanley Cup champion and ex-Penguin, he is the master of the Telestrator on AT&T Sportsnet. It is Jay Caulfield. Jay, where was this series against New York lost, and why did the Penguins keep blowing leads?
Yeah, first of all, Mark, good to talk to you. You know, I mean, you look at, there's so many different things. All the talk always in locker rooms and protecting leads and play the game that you know, your style that's, you know, your lines are so important. I'll say it every night. The blue lines, you got to make sure you get it out of the line. You got to make sure you get it deep when you're going in. All those kind of things are discussed night in and night out, period to period, if it's tight or you got the lead. And then you get an opportunity with, you got skilled players on the other side who might get one break, and then they buried it. And we look no further than, you know, they went to Louis Domingue, who was their third goaltender, and, you know, he did what he needed to do in the first night of the long overtime game and gets the big win. But from there, you know, 4 goals tonight is not what you're going to win. If you watch the Toronto-Tampa game the other night, and you saw Vasilevsky. No, not everybody's blessed that has that, but he's a stalwart. Right? They've won cups in a row because he's that outstanding, and they're strong defensively, strong on the wall. I think there was just times that it just went away from them. And a couple of moments where they got to him, you look at special teams, how, you know, it just didn't work the way we would be used to seeing them. The second unit did a great job, and they got 3 of the 6 goals. All those things are going to come into play. Also, you look at, hey, look, the fact of the matter is, you have a penalty when you have a 2-0 lead in a closeout game, and one that can be described as selfish. Not saying you can't be sour that you didn't get a call the first time around, but you got to be careful with what you do. They always get the second guy, always, right? I mean, in a 2-0 lead where you're in full control of the game and you give them life, that gave the Rangers life and gave Zibanejad life. He turned his whole series around with that first power play and his first goal. And it's not about, you can look at moments throughout, but if you want one glaring moment to me, it's when you have a 2-0 lead in a closeout game and you give them life and they buried it.
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement. And the key move there was the penalty by Erod, and it haunted them for the rest of the series. Was it the right move to start Jari last night, and how did he play?
Oh, I thought it was. If it, you know, You know what I felt? Here's what I did feel. And honestly, that was Louis Domingue's series all the way through, right? It was going to be it because Tristan Jarry, if we go back to the year before, didn't have a good start to a season. There was inactivity, not a normal training camp. He didn't feel right. So to have a guy that's missed 16 games, what, 4 or 5 weeks out of action, the goaltending position is the toughest one to kind of duplicate or replicate when you're trying to practice and get a feel. But if Louis Domingue doesn't let in that, you know, the goal that gets over top of him, well, we don't even know if we have a game seven. But the fact of the matter is it did. That's the one goal to me that was like the like a lay an egg goal, right? That's the one where if you're a coaching staff, you're sitting there. If our guy's even close to ready to go, we got to make a move. And I'm only saying that from the idea that I mentioned. If inactivity, what are you throwing him into? You know, that type of thing. Maybe if he was good to go, maybe he could have been a backup. And if it didn't go well, you give him a period so he's ready to go for game seven. But the fact of the matter is I thought he did a great job. And I know, I mean, look, the shot that Zibanejad scores on, what are you going to do? It's bang, bang. It's quick. He might have been deep, but that's just the movement of the play. I mean, he didn't have a chance to really challenge. So that was just a phenomenal shot by Zibanejad. You look at the first one by Kreider, 2-on-1, pass gets across. You can't point any blame there. So I thought he did a good job. He gave his team a chance to win. And it's a shame how, as we all know, how the tying goal came about. But
well, what about that, Jay? The helmet roll with Pettersson, it fell off. He had to go to the bench, and things got complicated. Yeah. That was a turning point.
Yeah. Listen, last night after the game, I said that last night before the game. It's a dumb. I'm not a fan of the rule because they're grown men playing a game. It's a grown men playing a game. That stuff happens, just like in anything. So if a helmet off, you figure a way. They're grown men. They're not little kids. You got to worry about the stuff about concussions, all the things that go with that. I'm not a fan of the rule, never been a fan of the rule, and it reared its ugly head last night for the Penguins because they were in disarray when that happened, right? So everybody, it broke down. Everything broke down from there. It doesn't mean that there's not a mistake. There wasn't mistakes inside of the whole time the puck was in their zone. But you're out of sync, right? Rotations, all that kind of thing.
And Marino just made an awful, awful turnover there.
Yeah, right. The way then it played out, then it's on a stick of a guy who, as we just said, found his scoring touch in game six, right? He was off the board, and then he finds it in game six. And then he rifles it, that one there. I mean, that's a tough one there. But again, Mark, I'll say, and it's not about – it isn't only about last night's game. I've never been a fan of the rule. It's a gray area. A guy can purposely knock your helmet off in a certain situation. You don't see it happen a lot, but when it does, in the defensive zone, not a fan of it. They're big boys playing. They're men playing the big game. The best players in the world. They know how to handle themselves and what to do. It's different than a goaltender's mask comes off, boom, done. Blow the whistle. You know, that's what I think, but I've never been a fan of it. I stated that last night. And then to hear Crosby and Mike Sullivan feel the same way. All right, especially Sidney Crosby, who's gone through the most as far as concussions are concerned, and he has the same feeling about it. It's not a rule that should be in the National Hockey League, if you ask me. And then, by the way, with that being said, if they're trying to protect the guys, there are certainly enough calls in the game where guys are getting hit to the head that they kind of let go and look no further than what we see with Trouba and Crosby. But don't look at Zadorov in Calgary against the Dallas forward. Not a penalty, not a suspension on a pure shot to the head. So you're worried about a helmet coming off on a player when they don't take care of the other thing. That, to me, it's a problem for me.
Jay, in game three, the Penguins trapped and managed to puck down low in the Rangers' head when they had a one-goal lead in the third period, and then they never did it again. They had lead after lead after lead, but they wouldn't go back to what worked. And that really is frustrating for me.
Yeah. You know what, Mark? It sometimes could be one guy, you know, goes off the rails, right? One guy on a line or maybe a defenseman reacts differently than they normally would. You know, I believe that. I believe sometimes if you get a guy who goes rogue a little bit, right, just doesn't follow the system. Well, what you're trying to do? Where you,
now, Jay? With all due respect, I don't believe that happened. I just think they hate playing that way and just didn't want to do it again.
Well, that part I'm not disagreeing with that. But what I'm saying is, if you have a line that goes out there, Mark, and you have a deep pair, and one guy's not going down the wall when he should, right? One guy doesn't go down the wall and the guy covers. If you have one guy, that's what I mean about a guy going rogue. If one guy does not go with your, how you normally want to play the game, right, then that's going to blow up what you're trying to do. It's going to create seams. It's going to create openings, create turnovers, or you don't keep the pressure on an opposition. That's what I'm talking about. I saw that. I saw where all of a sudden you're there, but then you're not there. And then you can't keep the heat on a team, and you can't give a player like Fox room to kind of carry the puck up out of the zone. You can't give Miller, all those guys. That's the part that I mean. And what you said, probably correct. It's not in their DNA. They play a game a certain way. But when they are in a roll and you're on a forecheck, if you have one guy not in sync, then that's where the problems occur. Then you get the next guy that gets beat up the ice. It's a domino effect, Mark.
I understand, Jay. I just don't think that happened. I think they hate the trap. They hate to work down low. They want to run and gun. They want the next goal. In game three, they got desperate, and God knows why they never felt that desperate again, but they should have.
Well, they do like to play down low, Mark. They want to possess the puck down low, though. I disagree with that. I mean, that's when they're at their best. Holding on the pucks in the offensive zone down low, that's when they're at the best. If you're talking about trapping, I agree with that. But when the Penguins are at their best, they're strong in the forecheck, holding on the pucks, and wearing out the other team's better lines. That's when you fatigue like a Panarin line or a Zibanejad line. They have to stay out there for 30 seconds, 35 seconds on the defensive side. So we're kind of saying the same. I'm talking about one error, and you're talking about another one. But for me, the Penguins are at their best when they can possess the puck down low. But if you don't have everybody on the same page for that, well, you're not going to be able to do that. And that's what I felt there was part of that going on. And certainly the mentality is like what you're talking about, man. Sometimes they can just get away from it. And you're right. And again, in this game, to give up lead after lead after lead, it was the craziest series that I've seen to have that happen. But it happened to both teams. But the Rangers are the ones that battled back to win three in a row. And those things went awry, as you're mentioning.
We're talking to Jay Caulfield here on the X. Jay, here's another example of how they just won't abandon how they like to play. Brock McGinn took that penalty in overtime. Why is he the last man back? Why is he trying to stick handle when he's the last man back, which flunks hockey 101? Why are both defensemen lower than McGinn when you're in overtime?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, like you said, a normal, Mark, if I looked at it and a D goes down the wall and you're the high forward and you cover up for him, but yeah, that's one I'm sure Brock McGinn, look, there's a sound player that doesn't usually make that kind of a mistake or gap, and it got him last night. But you're right. When you're going out on the ice there and it's overtime, and this is any player across the board, whenever you had that opportunity, if you look at Ryan Reeves, their fourth line is out there at overtime. Whatever it is, they got to be smart. And it's chipping pucks deep, getting on the forecheck. And if somebody does go down the wall, it better be like a 100% type of thing to kind of keep that going, especially that time early in this period. Yeah, that's a tough one, Mark. He was up high, tried to make a play, and it got burned. And that's what it is. But again, decision making, your plays with and without the puck are what win or lose you games. And certainly there's going to be somebody needs to make a mistake somewhere for something to happen good for the opposition or the other team. And that was the one right there.
If Sid doesn't get hurt, do the Penguins win this series? And what's your take on Trouba's hit in game five?
Yeah, if Sid doesn't get hurt, yeah, they win, right? That they don't go to, they will win the series. The hit by Trouba, look, he's trying to be stick on puck. I see a stick get into the skate of Sidney Crosby, which takes his power away as far as his leg strength. To me, it's a hit to the head no matter what. Like, nobody's going to give me a pass. If I hit a guy in the head, I go, hey, I didn't mean to do that, though. That wasn't what I meant. Doesn't matter. It's a shot to the head. That's what they're supposed to be calling. So I thought that should have been handled that way. It was a shot that got a guy in the head. And whether I even say stick on puck, whatever. I heard all the other stories. Yeah, stick on puck, and that's, you can't do it with that arm. Yeah, okay. But the fact of the matter is, it still got him up high. So for me, it's a shot. It gets the head. It ends up being the targeted point, or right below it. Whatever angle you see, to me, that's what it should. It's to me, if it's not a penalty at the time, and they have a time to review it, then it's one. It's some type of suspendable event, at least one game. But then I gave you that example of Zadorov in Calgary. against Dallas, they gave him nothing, and that's nothing.
Jay,
but
they just don't want to get rid of it. They don't want to get rid of it. They want toughness to mean as much as skill. They don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah, you know, and I got it. And it's, you know, Mark, I agree. I mean, there's something there. They want to talk. That's why I said this helmet rule thing. Let's go back to that for a second. They don't want to give it, but they want to act like they're doing the right thing as far as, like, the helmet rule. So, yeah, I'm with you. And I will say, you're the Dallas Ford, or you're Sidney Crosby. I might be Glenn Denning in Dallas. I'm sorry I don't have the name. The fact of the matter is there are two guys that got blows to the head. And the Dallas one, if you take a look at that tape, and if you've already seen it, Mark, that's a 6'6" defenseman taking a run at a guy and catches him in the head. Now, again, 15, 20 years ago, that's a great hit. We all love it. But today, it's not supposed to be a great hit, and they didn't address it. So then we flip back to the Sidney Crosby thing. As I said, excuse or not, didn't mean to do it. Sorry about that. But if I got you in the head, that's my problem. I need to be dealt with as far as either penalties or suspension. One game, whatever. Take him out for the game that Crosby was out for. There you go. But I do think if Sidney Crosby is in the lineup, they are not. We are sitting here waiting to go to Carolina. The Penguins will be going to Carolina this Wednesday. That's what it would have been.
How did Gino and Letang play? And do you think they'll be back? I think there's probably very little hope they return.
Yeah, I think, listen, Letang for me, that's going to be Letang and Evgeny Malkin. We certainly know the history. You've talked about it all. What they've accomplished as a trio and in the sporting world is close to being unmatched, right? What they've done in the years they've been here. Now you go into this series. I thought Chris Letang still. There's nobody that's going to replace. There's nobody that does what he does. Even at 35 years old, he's got a lot left in the tank. He's going to get a big number somewhere. Can the Penguins, they get to determine what's the most valuable piece they want to make sure they keep. Chris Letang for me is going to be hard to replace. But that being said, without Dumoulin out there, that changes the dynamic for the defense in the core. And you move Matheson up, and I've never been a big fan of that. Not about Matheson. It's about you have two offensive players that have an offensive mindset. Now they're lumped up into the one group. Now you take away that great offense you could have on one of this first pair, second pair. And I thought certainly the team missed Dumoulin, but everybody picked it up. And still at times they were, you know, the better team at times, outchanced, all that kind of stuff. But you have a great goaltender. And, you know, here you go. But I do think Letang, Mark, if they could find some way, but I think he's going to get too big of a number. Evgeny Malkin, I think if you look at the game last night, and you got to feel, one thing you got to remember, the lineup, how they put it together. I believe Mike Sullivan probably liked the Carter line and how they performed together and how they created. But when Malkin was the second line center, he's got Raquel, who's coming off of an injury and probably still banged up. And Kapanen, who lost his game, and it was like a lane. It became like a second line that couldn't generate.
I'll be blunt. He's making $9.25 million a year, or whatever the frigate was Gino made this year. I don't care who's on his line. He's got to be better than he was in this series.
Oh, hey, listen. I agree with that too. You got to make something happen, but still. You know, you get into a point, Mark, you still got to have wingers. You're going to get the best deep pairings and stuff. And listen, I do. I agree with what you're saying about the number. But I'm also saying you need help. In this game, you need help, right? You can't do it. Connor McDavid is the one player that does stuff on his own. The rest of the players in this league still need. He needs to make those guys better. They have to help him be who he is. Right? So that's a key point. Like, there's only one player. MacKinnon can go down. He's going to go speed-wise and do it, but he still gets help. Connor McDavid is the one guy solo in this game today that can do something and create on his own. But Evgeny Malkin and me, I think that, look, I don't think it wasn't a great series, right? It wasn't a great series for him. But I also think last night's game would have been nice to see. Let me see Zucker and Raquel on the wings. Just that's why you brought Raquel in. Right. Let's just give it a shot. And if you don't like it, change it halfway through the game. But they felt that's what they liked and still generated stuff. But you're right. Malkin didn't have a good series. And for the number they pay him, he needs to be able to do stuff. But in this game today, Mark, I do believe They're not 20-some years old anymore. They're in the mid-30s, and you need help every once in a while. And as I said, I do believe there's only one player solo that can do stuff completely on his own, and that's Connor McDavid. So it's tough. You need your wingers to be supportive. And I think Kapanen's game tailed off with every game he played in this series. And it wasn't a good – that was not a good fit. I mean, they were almost empty if you look at that game last night, correct? They didn't really generate – I didn't see much come from that line at all. And I believe Raquel had maybe all the shots, maybe four shots on net. So it's a tough one. But as I said, I think when you come to decisions coming up here, as far as roster things, what do you almost time to – you almost need to separate now. It's just the way it is. It's, they've had such a great run, and I don't know how you can just – if you want to win and continue to build a team back and make it what it was, there's going to be changes. And I think the two players we're mentioning, I think Letang's going to get too big of a number, and I'm not sure what Evgeny Malkin will take here to stay here, and what are they going to want to do.
Jay, great stuff. Thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome, Mark. Take care.
That's Jay Caulfield. I'm Mark Madden. We got Mike Klang next hour at 105.9.
Now the super genius, Mark Madden.
I would want total and absolute autonomy.
Hey, Mark. Great show. Are you part psychic?
Well, I'm actually more neurotic than psychic.
The X at 105.9.
The amount of clueless regarding where the Penguins are at on Twitter is just unbelievable. Pierre LeBrun, who's a great hockey writer, he says, how long can the window stay open in Pittsburgh? It closed in 2018. Have you been paying attention? They ain't won a playoff series since 2018. And Alan Saunders, who's a local writer, says, if I'm the Pens, I do whatever I can to sign Malkin and Letang. Another cup feels less and less likely as the years go on, but those guys can still play. Well, okay then, just be the Steelers. You know, we'll point at the consecutive years in the playoffs, like Tomlin points at never having had a losing season. And we'll just forget about the idea of championships and do the bare minimum to give us the bare accomplishment minimum that we could point at and say, look, we're still great even though we're not. The reaction to what happened yesterday is not what I expected. I mean, y'all are mad, but you're mad at the wrong people. You think Gino played great. So many people think Gino played great. He was rotten all year. 5-on-5, he was effing rotten all year. But hey, give him what he wants. Got to keep the band together. No Corner brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at CWElectricalServices.com. I'm not mad about the Penguins. Why would I be mad? I said New York would win the series, and they did. But it felt like a winnable series after the fact. But people are mad because, as I mentioned earlier, there's an entire generation of Penguins fans who think the playoffs are on the schedule, that they're automatic. 16 straight years in the playoffs makes people entitled. I can't wait to see the reaction if they miss the playoffs next year, which they might. I just tweeted this, too. This is a reminder you need to hear and to see at Mark Madden X. A lot of guys say this before getting to free agency. Quote, I really want to stay in insert city here, unquote. They're leaving out three words at the end. At my price. That applies to 71, 58, and 17 in a big way. Pete DeBoer got fired by Las Vegas. He should be. He ruined the friggin' team. They never should have got rid of Gallant. I hope Tocchet gets that job in Vegas. He lives there anyway. That'd be a great spot for him. Tell you what, if Sully don't work out, Tockett's a great turnaround coach too, but Sully's going to be here to start next year for sure, although it is not unfair to say he has something to prove. I'll talk about this just a moment here on 105.9.